Helping Hand, Fridays as part of All Things Considered, then archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals who are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, WildAid, focused on ending the wildlife trade. They have a unique way they do it, using Asian celebrities and public service messaging campaigns in the Asia Pacific to try and reduce demand for wildlife products, with people like basketball star Yao Ming, actor Jackie Chan, many others, in video, print ads, other public signage that encourages people in these countries not to buy products like shark fins, pangolins, rhino horn, elephant ivory. They have a 4 out of 4 rating from Charity Navigator. Today we are learning about two specific areas of their work. A recent partnership with the University of Hong Kong to conduct a survey regarding use of pangolins, the most trafficked mammal on Earth. And another campaign focused on ending the Japanese ivory trade. CEO from WildAid, Peter Knights, joining us on Helping Hand today. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you for letting me appear on the show. It's a privilege.
First, I guess, fill in the rest of the story I may have missed.
You hit it on the button there. We've seen an 80% reduction in 3 years on the imports of shark fin, for example. Some of those shark fins were coming from Hawaii until we had the shark finning ban there, which we were part of. On the ivory trade, the price of ivory in some cases is down 80 or 90% from what it was 3 or 4 years ago. And even rhino horn, which is still a sought-after product, is down about 60 or 70% in terms of the price. And this just means that the people in the field who are out there risking their lives to protect these animals, they got a better chance.
If you can just put enough pressure on these people, they might say, you know what, it's easier to do this other illegal activity instead of chasing the rhinos around. And some of these animals, like certainly the rhinos, they literally almost need a person with them 24 hours a day to keep them safe.
Well, many of them have that, Dave. Many of them do have to have 24-hour personal protection. And sadly, even that, sometimes they cut off most of the horn and still the animals are being poached.
How does WildAid get funding?
We get foundation funding, we get a very small amount of government funding, and we get from the public. Well, our biggest donor, in fact, in kind, is actually the government of China, who state media donates about $200 million worth of free media space every year. So we're able to do these massive campaigns, as you alluded to. The other obvious thing was we needed to have Asian people talking to Asians. We use sort of Madison Avenue-style advertising techniques, CGI, speeding bullets, and things like that to make, I hope, the advertising interesting and engaging, which means the campaigns are on a line with a Coca-Cola campaign rather than an obscure NGO campaign, which are on TV, they're on billboards, they're all over the place.
So you've recently been sharing some results. It's a survey. It was based around one of Earth's most vulnerable residents, the pangolin. It is essentially defenseless. It's being eaten into extinction, primarily in China and Vietnam, but elsewhere in the Asia Pacific. Give a summary of the crisis, but also what you guys did in terms of this teaming up with the university in Hong Kong.
The recent survey we've done, 85% of the respondents in Hong Kong thought that the laws should be more strictly enforced on endangered wildlife. Two-thirds thought the government of Hong Kong should be doing more to educate people about endangered species. And two-thirds thought the Chinese medicine should phase out the use of pangolins in traditional Chinese medicine, as they have done with the rhino horn. And when we were doing in China the ivory campaign, 95% of people thought the ivory trade should be banned in China. But there's a small number of people who continue to use these products and promote them. If you go to Africa, which is where most of the pangolins now are left, most of the Asian pangolins have been wiped out, none of the rangers, the people we work with in Africa, none of them have ever seen a wild pangolin. You're seeing shipments that represent 20 or 30,000 animals. 11.9 tons of pangolin scales were seized with 8 tons of ivory in Singapore a few weeks ago. Nobody really knows how many pangolins are out there. We do know they reproduce very slowly. They do not really reproduce in captivity, and they are being decimated. They're now protected everywhere internationally. We do have a loophole in the law, though, unfortunately, in China, where although it's illegal to import pangolin scales, it's not illegal to sell pangolin scales. That was the same loophole we had with the ivory trade, and we really need to get that loophole closed. It could be in the next 10, 15 years, the rate we're going, we could lose them completely.
What are the ways people listening can help out?
It is about information and support. Obviously, conservation needs support with people protecting the animals in the field and doing the public awareness. Financial support is always needed for those things. But you can be an ambassador yourself, but you can follow what's going on with pangolins and put it into your social media. If you have friends in Asia, try and get them worked up and supportive of it. Things have really, really changed. So there was a case a few months ago where an individual went to Vietnam from China, bought some pangolins, and put on his social media he was eating pangolin meat. It got a huge outrage. He was fired by his company. Something like 6 million people on social media condemned him and said he should be arrested. So we've just got to keep pushing until we get the legislative changes that we need. And ultimately, these things become socially unacceptable to consume them. That is what makes the change. And grandchildren have impacted. Very often it's the older generation that's consuming these products. And their grandchildren have told them you can't do this anymore. And they've listened to their grandchildren. I think the thing is just having meaningful punishment. Recently, there was someone in Hong Kong smuggling. They went to jail for a year. So that might sound mild to you, but compared to what we've had for wildlife in the past, it's been a small fine, which can just be a cost of doing business. We've been really pleased and excited to do a major campaign in China on ivory with the customs this year. And I walked into Beijing Airport last time. Between getting off the plane and going through the customs, I saw 20 of these posters with a customs officer holding ivory saying, this is now contraband. And so that kind of in your face, we are not tolerating it anymore, I think is very, very important.
And on the ivory, switching to Japan, where Yahoo Japan just announced they would stop selling ivory, you guys are pushing for Japan as a whole to completely end the trade in elephant ivory, unfortunately used in these Hanko seals there, among other still legal sales. Talk about your push to have this happen before the 2020 Olympics.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'd just like to step back a little bit historically, if I may, but the ivory trade has been with us for a long, long time. In the colonial times, the major market for ivory was the United States and the UK. And then 1975 to 1989, most of that ivory was actually heading to Japan. And as you mentioned, these hankos, these name stamps, which are used on all kinds of official documents in Japan, it's changing now with digitization. The actual hankos themselves are becoming kind of obsolete. But these little stamps were never traditionally made of ivory. They're made of jade and all kinds of other things. But in the 70s and 80s, as the Japanese economy exploded, people started using ivory for it. And literally, half of Africa's elephants disappeared. So a lot of Japanese ivory is kind of old ivory, which is part of the last crisis that we had. From 2008 up to 2017, there was China, the Chinese demand that was driving it. But what we now have in Japan is we have a lot of ivory. Some of it is going legally to China, a large amount. But the big picture is Singapore just announced they were ending it. Hong Kong has ended the ivory trade. China has ended the ivory trade. US has ended the ivory trade. UK has ended the ivory trade. For the first time in history, we're looking at a potential end to the legal ivory trade across the planet if we can get Japan out. So we now have, for the first time in history, only one major country left selling ivory legally, and that's Japan. And many of the Japanese people we've spoken to, as high as the First Lady, had no idea that Japan had this role within the ivory trade and are very, very supportive of just ending it. And as I say, every major country is now out except Japan, and that Japan join the international community and let's end ivory trade forever. You can, first of all, write to the Japanese tourism, the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. You can go to hashtag one year to go at WildAid on our Twitter and show your support there. And you can communicate to the Japanese public to tell their government that we don't need this anymore. We don't want to be the last country legally trading ivory in the world. Elephants have value being alive. They are very valuable tourist assets. Killing them for their ivory is not a business, and it's not something we should do any longer. As we come up to the Olympics, we are trying to say to the Japanese government, look, this is not what you want to have on your copy sheet. You're just about to host the world and a globally important event, and it's the right time to make the announcement go, and anything anyone can do to encourage the Japanese government is the way to go about it.
Here's how to get in touch with this organization, wildaid.org. Find a contact form at their website. Reach their headquarters in San Francisco at 415-834-3174. The full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org. Closing thoughts.
The situation for pangolins is particularly dire right now, but we do have solutions. If the Chinese government could do exactly what they did for ivory, it would be a game changer, and China could lead the movement to save the pangolins. With regards to ivory, we're so close to ending this historic, tragic trade, and it would just be so wonderful if Japan would join everyone else in the world. We can't afford to lose these animals. We're losing part of ourselves in the process, and so we have to stand and fight for them.
It's WildAid. Peter Knight's their CEO. You may have seen some of their campaigns with the slogan, when the buying stops, the killing can too. on behalf of all the little pangolins, that you're going to divert somebody chasing them, and all the elephants that hopefully are going to live through this and keep their tusks and keep their babies. Thank you for doing what you're doing, and thank you so much for taking the time to be on Helping Hand with me.
Thank you, Dave.